This is our seventh message. We have been speaking about the Babylonian system, the Antichrist system. The spirit of Babylon is the cosmic level spirit that is the spirit of the world, and Satan is the ruler of that world. And then we have been looking how the Antichrist spirit comes to come against Jesus and who Jesus is. And we have looked at Jesus as the creator, Jesus as the substance of the world, Jesus as the only salvation, and last time Jesus as the Lord, the ruler, the mediator, the high priest. Tonight we look at Jesus as the Word, who is life and light. Jesus as the Word, who is life and light. Now, the Antichrist and everything that Satan does with this Antichrist spirit through all history, from the beginning of Babylon right on through to the Antichrist when he comes, is the opposite, coming against who Jesus is. So, since Jesus is the Word who is life and light, then the Babylonian spirit of the world, this Antichrist spirit, hates the Word. Do you wonder why so many people come against the Word of God? Did you ever notice that even if it's Islam and the Quran, or if it's Buddhism or Hinduism, there is not the objection, even a satanic Bible, is taken into schools, and there is not the objection that there is to the Word of God. Amen. The reason for this is the Antichrist spirit of Babylon hates the Word. And the Word is one with Jesus. Jesus, who is the Christ. And that Word brings life. And remember the Christian life, as we said here a couple of times ago, and in fact we had a speaker in chapel that mentioned this himself. Christianity is not a religion. It is a relationship with a living God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. It is the experiencing of His life. Hallelujah. And His life brings light. So, the Word, Jesus, brings life, brings light. Then, because the world hates, and the Antichrist spirit hates the Word, they love darkness and they love death. You see, Jesus brings light, but the world, the Antichrist spirit, is in love with darkness. And darkness is always related to death. Light is always related to life. We flow in life, the life of God. The very life of Jesus Himself comes into us when we are saved, comes even more when we are baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then more of the life as God is going to be poured out, the sevenfold Spirit, the completion of the life through the Holy Spirit is going to come on the earth. Revelation 5, 6 says that life will be sent out into all the world. Now, I've gotten revelation on this that, I've taught on this before, but I've gotten revelation on this, so pray that the Holy Spirit will allow me to articulate this, because it is not easy to articulate it through human thought. It can be articulated only as the Holy Spirit comes alive in my spirit. Now, going back to the beginning, I mean right from Tower of Babel, you've got those six kingdoms: Babylon, Egypt, Assyria, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome. And then the coming Roman Empire, the Antichrist Kingdom. Now, this Babylonian Antichrist system is there, and they worship death, and they worship darkness. And so the gods that they worship. Now, remember, the 12 original signs of the zodiac pointed to the life of Christ, and how the life of Christ defeats Satan, who is the ruler of darkness and death. And so every one of the 12 signs show that. But what did they do at the Tower of Babel? right from then, they brought into this worship system, reversing the whole meaning of the 12 signs of the zodiac, so that astrology became a worship of the stars, and the stars were given names, but they were names of the gods. And these gods were demons that fell with Satan. And Satan is the ruler of death and darkness, and the demons are his helpers in the realm of death and darkness. So therefore, when they worshiped the gods in the ancient world, they were worshiping death and darkness. Well, so therefore, if you look at each one, in my Western Civ class, I look at some of them. We're not going to do that tonight, but if you look at each one of them, there is a mythology where the god that they worship, who is the god of the sun often, quite most often, the god of the sun, worshiping the sun, but he is the god of death and dies, but he is the god that dies and comes back to life, is reincarnated, not resurrected, is reincarnated. So Satan gets people to worship death thinking that they will receive life in death. Let me say it again. Satan gets people to worship death because they think that they are receiving a god of life who is also a god of death. But we know that Jesus is the god of life and he hates death. So, the worship in all those kingdoms. Now let me take you to the scripture. Let me show you where this comes from, because the worship of the god of death, Satan is the god of death. Death meaning separation. When I say death tonight, I'll say it many times. When we talk about death, either the Hebrew or the Greek word, it means separation from God. See, we were in, even Satan himself, as Lucifer, as we saw before, was in light. He was an angel. And then he rebelled and was separated from God and becomes the god of death. Then Adam and Eve, they sin, they are separated from God, and then they are condemned to die. And only through Christ and the blood of the animals as a prediction of Christ, then when Christ comes, his blood itself, only through faith in the blood can that we be brought back into life as we repent and receive the life of God through Christ who is to come, through belief and the blood covenant that Abram entered into, and then later when Jesus does come, entering into Jesus' life himself as we believe Jesus, because he died to defeat that death and to bring us back into the unity with his life. Now, Revelation chapter 9, verse 1 says, the fifth angel. Now, these are the trumpets. These are the trumpets in the book of Revelation. And there is a feast of trumpets, and there is a feast of atonement, and there is a feast of tabernacles. They are prophetic about the end times coming and what's going to happen. And the Feast of Trumpets begins in the seventh month, the last of the Jewish months, as a warning, repent. Repent. The whole world of the church needs to repent. Jesus is coming, and the fifth trumpet that blew here. And when you see the trumpets blowing here, the seven trumpets that blow in Revelation, these are prophetically the seven trumpets of the announcement of Jesus is coming, repent, total atonement, and then the Feast of Tabernacles just before he comes, the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God and the sevenfold Spirit of God, and the Holy Spirit poured out on the earth, and there is a tremendous move of God where people are swept into the kingdom of God as never before. That's the final harvest. Tabernacles is the final harvest. Now, verse 1, chapter 9, verse in Revelation. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star from heaven, which had fallen to the earth, and the key of the bottomless pit was given to him. Now this is the star, Lucifer, light bringer, before Satan fell, now he falls. He has rebelled, he falls. By the way, in Revelation 12, you find this again, war in heaven, and he was cast out. But here, the star, and this is the Lucifer, light bringer, who was one of the most beautiful of the angels, he falls down on the earth, but the key to the bottomless pit, the key to hell, the key to the second death, the bottomless pit is where hell is, because eventually hell will be cast into the lake of fire in that bottomless pit. And in outer darkness, by the way, in the 12 signs of the zodiac, I've forgotten which of the signs, there is out beyond the constellations total darkness. You couldn't see your hand in front of your face. Total darkness. Total darkness. Then verse 11, and they have a king over them, the angel of the abyss, the fallen angel, Satan, of the abyss, of hell. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in Greek it is Apollyon. Both those names in the Hebrew and the Greek mean the destroyer. The destroyer, the one of death, the one who destroys completely. Satan loves destruction. Satan loves death. Satan loves darkness. He is the king of death, the king of darkness. Now, Revelation 11, verse 6. These have power, and these are the two witnesses that God has sent on the earth. After the blowing of the trumpets, well, the seventh trumpet hasn't sounded yet, but the two witnesses of God, anointed specially by God, are sent on the earth, and they have great power, and they can't be resisted. They have power to shut up the sky in order that rain may not fall in the days of their prophesying. And they have power over the waters to turn them into blood and smite the earth and every plague as often as they want. And so they come. And the people, they don't know what to do. And verse 7 says, and when they have finished their testimony, the beast. Now the beast is the Antichrist. He is directly sent by Satan, who is the ruler of death and destruction. The beast is the final Antichrist. There is an Antichrist spirit in all of these empires, but there is a final Antichrist. He is the culmination of all evil, of all darkness. He is the culmination of Satan himself. He is the epitome. He is the very image of Satan himself. And the beast comes out of the abyss, out of hell, and will make war with them and will overcome them and kill them. Now these two witnesses are killed, but I won't read the rest of that story there, but they are only dead for 3.5 days. And suddenly they rise, and God takes them into heaven. By the way, all of the earth rejoiced, the pagans rejoiced, because of these witnesses being dead, and then suddenly they rise. Now look at chapter 13 and verse 1. What I'm trying to show you here is that death and darkness have an origin, and Satan is the ruler of death and darkness, and he is the ruler of the abyss and the ruler of hell. And this system of hell is coming on the earth, and it is a system to attract people into hell, into death, into destruction, into darkness. People don't realize what kind of kingdom this is. It looks like something that is good. But it is the most deceptive. You think we have seen deception. We haven't seen anything yet about deception. Because when the Antichrist comes, he's going to come as an angel of light, just like Satan came as an angel of light, but he is full of death and destruction and hatred and darkness. Chapter 13, verse 1, and I stood on the sand of the seashore. Now the sea represents people here, the people of the world. And I saw a beast coming up out of the sea, having 10 horns. These are 10 kingdoms that will first ally with the Antichrist. And 7 heads, 3 will fall away temporarily. And on his horns were 10 diadems, and diadems are authority given by men. They are not really kings. They are certainly not crowned by God. But diadems represent the world trying to play God. You see, that's what Satan did. He tried to play God. But when you try to act as God, anyone who tries to act as God is bringing death and destruction upon themselves and others. And the beast I saw is like a leopard. Now that was a symbol of the Greek Empire in the ancient world. And his feet were like those of a bear. That was a symbol of the Medo-Persian Empire in the ancient world. And his mouth was like the mouth of a lion. That was a symbol of Babylon in the ancient world. So all of these are symbols of that system that dominated all of these ancient empires and will dominate the Antichrist system. See, it's the same system. When I learned this years ago, I thought, boy, they didn't teach me much about ancient history when I studied history. Well, you don't learn much about it unless you understand the scripture. I mean, you really don't, actually, you don't know much about history, especially, well, any history, really. I was going to say ancient, but you don't know about any history unless you understand that God created time and with it history. And he's going to bring history to an end when Jesus comes back. And he's got it all under control. And I saw one of the heads as if it had been slain, and the fatal wound was healed. The fatal wound was healed. The fatal wound was healed. And the whole earth was amazed and followed after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon, Satan, because he gave authority to the beast. So they worshiped Satan, who gave authority to this Antichrist, and they worshiped the beast too, saying, who is like the beast and who is able to make wage war with him? Now here you have the worship of death and reincarnation. Death, now life. Well, this is a man who will bring life. This is a man who will bring peace. The deception is tremendous. And by the way, Paul talks about the apostasy, the falling away. And Jesus in Matthew 24 talks about people falling away. And this is why. Because people, there will be the greatest apostasy, the greatest, already. The Lord told me, maybe a year ago. The Lord said to me very, very plainly, he said, son, most of the church is already apostate. Of the organized church. Most of the organized church, he said, is already apostate. And I kind of went back. But he said it to me a couple of times. Already fallen away from him, the life. You see, it's not a denomination. It's not a form of godliness. A form of godliness denying the power of it. This power of God is the only power that can defeat the power of this dark Babylonian system. But this dark Babylonian system has, as it were, no power in compared to the power of God. Amen. But it has greater power than anything man can do. Any power of man will be overwhelmed by this dark power if we are not in the anointed power of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, the key. Now, God showed me this, but now I'm beginning to understand more of it. I don't know how much the Lord will give me to understand before I go to be with him, but I hope he keeps revealing more and more and more. And he keeps revealing more. It's one of the reasons why I haven't retired. God just keeps revealing more and revealing more and revealing more. And I figure, well, why should I retire? I mean, God wants me to speak. Because, see, this is not just speaking about the Bible. It's speaking about history. It's speaking about what is happening. Because you only realize what is happening when you understand these things. Now, some years ago, I suppose it was almost 10 years ago, I was studying a book from the seminary, and I was studying Babylonian religion. I was trying to learn more about what scholars said about the ancient religions. And Osterreich, in a book on Babylonian religion, I believe it was, I got it at the seminary, but I found that there were three classes of priests. Now, they're all interrelated, and I've told my Western Civ class this, but I will go into some things that I don't go into in Western Civ. The three classes of priests were witchcraft, divination, and sorcery. Witchcraft, divination, and sorcery. And God warns against these things that were practiced, because witchcraft, divination, and sorcery are the heart of the Babylonian system. In each one of those empires, this was established. In the Antichrist Empire, it will be established in a more complete way than ever before. Witchcraft, divination, and sorcery. All of them I see now. I didn't understand when I first got this revelation. Now, God did speak to me, and I didn't study this in the Word. I didn't read this anywhere. God said, "Son, witchcraft is to control the spirit of man. Divination is to control the mind and soul of man. And sorcery is to control the body of man. We are spirit, soul, body." Now, God intends that we receive Jesus and His life in our spirit. And it is our spirit man that is inhabited by the Holy Spirit. And that brings life. And the life of the spirit brings life to the soul, to the will, to the mind, to the emotions, and to the body. And so, Satan developed a strategy in his dark kingdom to bring death and darkness and destruction to the spirit, to the soul, and to the body. Let me read Deuteronomy chapter 18 that speaks of this, and then I'll read some other passages. Now I'm going to take you back to Saul, because Saul's life is a perfect example of what can happen to people, even to Christian people. Because Satan doesn't rest. He tries to draw Christian people to fall away. And don't you believe once saved, always saved. That's a lie out of the pit of hell. Now, it is true that if I come to Christ and in the fullness of His Spirit, God will not let me go, but I can let God go. If I give in to the temptation of the enemy, I can let God go because I retain and you retain your will. You never lose your will. Satan cannot. No, there's no demon possession. There is no work of Satan that can. God will not allow your will to be totally controlled. You have to surrender that will in some way. Now, in Deuteronomy 18, let's turn here. I've studied that passage over and over, and I look up the Hebrew words, and until God began to speak to me, I still couldn't understand it. But let me read verse 9. When you enter the land which Yahweh your Elohim is giving you, you shall not learn to imitate the detestable things of these nations. All these nations were into witchcraft, divination, and sorcery. They were in love with death and darkness and destruction. Enter the land. What is the land? The land of the Spirit-filled life. The land of the life of God. Not only the life that saves, but the life that baptizes in the Holy Spirit. The life that cleanses. The life that purifies. The life that empowers. The life that allows the power of God to flow through you like it flowed through Christ Himself. Which is amazing. I mean, God's power can flow through us like it flowed through Jesus, because Jesus ministered as a man. Not as a divine Son of God. He laid aside that privilege. When I realized that years ago, I thought, now I see why Jesus is our example. So when you enter the land of the Spirit-filled life that Yahweh is giving you, watch out for death and darkness. Now listen, verse 10, I didn't understand for a long time. Now I understand it. Now I understand it because I've read more about the ancient pagans and their rituals. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through fire. Now, you know what that is? That is the fire of human sacrifice. So entering into witchcraft, divination, and sorcery, you have to worship death by the sacrifice of a human being. This is a door of death. This is a door to hell. This is a door to destruction. Most of the initiations in the ancient world, there was the sacrifice of human being, sometimes animal, depending. But at the highest level of these initiations, usually at midnight, usually going through the 12 signs of the zodiac, the highest level of those initiations, there was human sacrifice. When they sacrificed human beings, and this is a sacrifice to Satan, who is the god of death, then Satan allowed more spiritual witchcraft, divination, and sorcery power to flow through them. So remember, this begins with death. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or daughter pass through fire who uses divination. All right, divination. I'm going to define these here in a moment. I'm going to go through the list first. One who practices witchcraft. I'll define that in a moment. The one who interprets omens. Now, these are signs of the future. This is a type of divination. This is a type of divination. Or a sorcerer. We're going to define sorcery because witchcraft, divination, and sorcery are the three main types, all interrelated, but they're the three main types. Or the one who casts a spell. Now, casting a spell or a curse is a type of witchcraft. And this is cast on the spirit of a person, but it affects their soul, their body, their mind. In fact, if it's at a high enough level, the person dies. Or a medium. Now, a divining medium is one who divines between a demon and a person, giving a message from a demon to the person, and this is a type of divination too. Or a spiritist. Now, the translations here can be different in your Bible, but this is someone who is operating in the realm of the spirit, in the realm of the supernatural spirit. Now listen, the realm of the supernatural and the spirit supernatural, the power there is a power that's not only over the spirit, but it can overwhelm the body and overwhelm the mind too. Or one who calls up the dead, or necromancer. And by the way, the necromancer, that's a type of divination, because they're calling up a dead person to speak about something and to get knowledge. See, divination is to get some knowledge. And so they're calling up a dead person, but actually they're calling up a demon who is impersonating a dead person. So, now, let's break it down. And the Lord, I was praying to this morning and this afternoon and asking God what scriptures I needed, and these are the ones He gave me. Let's take witchcraft. Basically, witchcraft is casting demonic spells and curses over the spirit of man. Casting demonic spells and curses over man. Now, the spirit, remember, is what comes to us. And so let's look at the life of Saul. And look at 1 Samuel chapter 10. Because the life of Saul is instructive here. In relation to this. And in 1 Samuel chapter 10, I want to read where Saul is called as king. Now, Saul has already, he's already a Christian. He's already accepted Christ. Christ is to come. He's already accepted God. In other words, now when we accept Christ, I said earlier, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, inhabits our spirit. See, the spirit is that intuitive part of us. It's the vertical window. Our mind is our horizontal window to see on the world. The spirit is the vertical window. And we can only see in the spirit realm as we operate in the spirit. As we look to God through the Holy Spirit, that's what God wants, then God comes and we get born again and the Spirit enters our spirit. Our body isn't changed when we're born again. Our mind isn't even changed until we get into the Word of God and begin to read the Word of God and begin to get it in our mind and then get it in our heart. But our spirit man is changed. Now, Saul had been changed by the Spirit, but God was going to change him further by baptizing him in the Holy Spirit. If you've been saved and you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit, please accept it tonight. You know why? There are many reasons, but if you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, you're not filled with the Holy Spirit to overflowing. And if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit to overflowing, it's hard to hear from God. And you won't be operating in the supernatural gifts. And it will be harder to flow day by day by day by day to hear from God, to act on the Word of God, to let the power of God flow with you, touch to other people. And if you don't, there's a greater danger that the enemy can come to get you to listen to the world, to listen to things in the world, get your mind on other things. Because when you are baptized in the Spirit, in the Spirit, then there is a much greater chance that your mind will be dominated by the Spirit. Because as your mind is dominated by the Spirit, and you get the Spirit in your heart, then the power of God begins to flow. Well, that's how Saul started. Verse 6, 1 Samuel 10, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and you shall prophesy. Now, you don't prophesy until you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. Every one of the prophets had already been baptized in the Holy Spirit. I mean, you don't prophesy without being baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Now, of course, when you are, you still got to believe in faith, because prophecy in the New Testament is that we speak forward what God says to encourage, to build up, to edify the people and the church. And Saul did that. And you shall prophesy, and you'll be changed into another man. You need to be changed into another man or mother or woman. And Saul was. I mean, you need to be new in every way. And you shall go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I will come down to you and offer burnt sacrifices and sacrifice peace offerings. You shall wait 7 days until I come to you and show you what you should do. In other words, don't do anything. Our speaker said on Friday, I liked what he said, you're not smart enough to make any decisions for your life. You need God to speak to you. I was down on the front row there praising the Lord and saying amen and hallelujah. I didn't do it too loudly, but I was praising the Lord because of what he was saying. You shall go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I will come down to you to offer burnt offerings and sacrifice peace offerings. They shall wait 7 days, or you shall wait 7 days, until I come to you and show you what you should do. Wait there. I'll show you. Don't move. I'll show you. We act too quickly. We need to wait. Let God, after he's baptized in the Holy Spirit, let it wait. He'll show you what to do. Then it happened, when he turned his back to leave Samuel, God changed his heart. And all those signs came about on that day. And when they came to the hill there, behold, a group of prophets met him, and the Spirit of God fell on him mightily, so that he began to prophesy among them. And it came about when all who knew him previously saw that he prophesied now with the prophets, that the people said to one another, what is this that's happened to the son of Kish? Is Saul among the prophets? Now, the Spirit of God came on Saul, and he was a mighty man of God. And God blessed him, and God blessed his kingdom. But, what happened? What happened? Turn to chapter 15. This Saul's life is really instructive. It shows how Satan will come. Here's a man who is saved, filled with the Spirit, and the enemy comes against him with death and darkness, a deception. But do you know there is one thing? There is one thing. More than any other thing, listen to me, one thing, rebellion against God's will open the door to witchcraft. Because rebellion is a sin of witchcraft. I'm not talking about demon possession. When you are saved and filled with the Spirit and you rebel against the command of God, because God wants you to be a soldier in His army. And He's baptized you, He saved you and baptized you in the Holy Spirit and given you His life and His light and Jesus Himself, so that you will absolutely obey and you will follow what He says. What did He say to Saul? What did He say to Saul? Chapter 15. Now go, verse 3, and strike Amalek. Now, it's important that Amalek, that word Amalek is here, because if you go back to Exodus, you will find that in the story of Moses, which I don't want to take time to tell now, but in the story of Moses, when he was up on the mount and Aaron and Hur were holding his hands up in the air, the war was going well against Amalek. And Amalek is the tribe that is the sign of the energy of the flesh, where you decide how you will serve God. Watch out. Watch out. This is more serious than you think. This is more serious than you think. In the kingdom of God, anointed by the Spirit of God, if you try to decide what you are going to do for God, you can open the door. Rebellion will open the door to witchcraft, divination, and sorcery, darkness, death, and destruction for you and other people. And the reason He said to destroy utterly everything, man, woman, child, infant, camel, sheep, donkey, the animals, everything, because in Exodus it says God has eternal war against Amalek. Root and branch warfare. He hates the energy of the flesh because the energy of the flesh gets in the way of the life of God, the life of Jesus, the life and the light that is in you that will shine and conquer if you will obey. I'll do it all the time. I'll do it again. The Lord says, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. Yes, sir. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons, freely receive, freely give. Yes, sir. Debate with God? That's rebellion. Listen, I mean, people, it is incredible to me how many people call themselves Christians and pay absolutely no attention to what God tells them to do in this word. And they say they are Christians. I'm glad I'm not the judge. I'm not going to judge. I can't judge. The word judges. The word judges. Now, what happened here? Well, let's go down to verse 13. Samuel came to Saul. Saul said to him, blessed are you of Yahweh. I have carried out the command of the Lord. Here's Saul coming in. Saul said to Samuel, the prophet of the Lord, I've carried out the command of the Lord. And Samuel said, what is this bleating of the sheep that I'm hearing, and the lowing of the oxen which I'm hearing? And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to Yahweh your Elohim, but the rest we have utterly destroyed. He's already into darkness and death and destruction because he has not obeyed. The Satan will trip you up. Why, of course, God wants you to sacrifice the best and save the best out. God wants you to decide the best way you will serve Him, doesn't He? No. Because that's the beginning of disobedience. God is not looking for sacrifice. He is looking for obedience. Absolute, total, unhindered obedience. Samuel said to Saul, wait, let me tell you what the Lord said to me last night. And he said, Speak. And Samuel said, Is it not true, though you were little in your own eyes, you were made head of the tribes of Israel, and Yahweh anointed you king? And Yahweh sent you on a mission? Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are exterminated. Why then did you not obey the voice of Yahweh? But you rushed upon the spoil, and you did what was evil. This is evil. This is dark. This leads to destruction. It's where Saul was led. Simple disobedience. By the way, don't be in fear if you disobeyed. Repent tonight. God will give you a chance to repent. Saul said to Samuel, I did obey the voice of Yahweh. I went on the mission on which the Lord sent me, and I brought back Agag. See, he's still not admitting. And the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed Amalek, the Amalekites. But the people, now Saul puts the blame off on the people, took some of the spoils, sheep and oxen, the choicest of the things devoted to destruction, the sacrifice of Yahweh, your Elohim, the people of God. Listen, the so-called people of God will lead you astray. People who say they're people of God, people who say they're Christians, well, you better not follow them. You better not follow shepherds or pastors who are not in absolute obedience to the word of God. And Samuel said, Has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as obeying the voice of Yahweh? Behold, to obey is better than a sacrifice, and to heed than a fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. There it is. Rebellion against God's will lead you into witchcraft. It will lead you into it opens the door. And we'll see here what Saul did.
Yeah.
And insubordination is as iniquity and idolatry because you have rejected the word of the Lord. Don't reject the word of the Lord. You're rejecting Jesus. You're rejecting his life. You're rejecting light and life. Then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned. I have indeed transgressed the command of Yahweh because I feared the people. If you fear men, watch out. You will disobey God. You must not fear men. If you fear God in awe of God, you will say, Yes, sir, even if it costs your life. And it'll cost a lot of us our lives before Jesus comes back. But we must obey. And his life will flow. Now, divination. Divination, as I said, is control of the soul of man. Control of the will and the mind and the emotions. Control of the will and the mind and the emotions. What are a few of the ways? Many. The horoscope. Astrology. Mediums, going to demonic powers, called gods, they call them gods. Necromancers, go to the dead. Hypnosis, clairvoyance, where people get visions of the future, but they almost always get visions about someone dying. People are born with these things. I prayed with a woman this last week. I won't go into the details because I shouldn't. But she was born with some things that were in the occult. If you have some abilities that are supernatural, they may not be God. They may be, but they may not be. If you've had them from the beginning as a child, they may have come through the generations. And they may have to do with witchcraft, divination, and sorcery. Quite often they do, and they're supernatural. And so, what finally happened? Chapter 28. Chapter 28. Paul inquired of... This is verse 6. Paul, when Saul inquired of the Lord did not answer, And Saul sought for a woman who was a witch, that I might go into her and inquire of her. And I'm not going to read the rest of that, but Saul asked to bring up Samuel. And she thought a demon would come up, impersonating Samuel.
Yeah.
And Samuel came up. God sent Samuel. It led Saul, this entry into witchcraft led him, and the divination that I just spoke of, you see, his mind was being controlled. Proverbs 23:7 concerning divination says this: as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Your mind has a tremendous power. But watch out in using mind power or soul power. People who are into the highest level use mind power along with physical strength. It has to do with concentrating the mind. In fact, concentrating the mind, I prayed with a man a little over a week ago who's in a lot of bondage, and he had several experiences where he was able to separate his soul from his body. This is a type of divination where you travel outside your body through the mind. The mind does the traveling. I mean, it's real. These people who experience, but see, God does not want you to get into this. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. If you love life, you will eat its fruit. If you love death, you will eat its fruit. Now, what's the tongue have to do with this? The tongue is the only part of the body that connects both to the spirit, my spirit man, and to my soul and my mind. And when I pray in tongues, led by the Holy Spirit, I am totally guided by the Holy Spirit in my spirit. That's one of the gifts. One of the reasons God wants you to have that gift, you don't have to be baptized in the Spirit, but He wants you to have it because He wants you to learn how to pray with the intelligence, your mind, and pray with your spirit. And you've got to learn how. If you're going to walk in the Spirit, you've got to learn how to use his tongue to express what the Holy Spirit is putting into your spirit. Now, once you do that, and you pray in the Spirit, then as God, through the Holy Spirit, puts these things in your spirit, man, and in your heart, then you begin to speak English, and you can prophesy. And you speak English, you can speak a word of knowledge, or you can speak a word of wisdom. You begin to speak what God knows. But if you are not moving that way, if you are moving in this mind way, you see, you can move into things that obsess the mind. Anything that is obsessing in your mind, controlling your mind, fear, depression, any negative, hatred, bitterness, any negative thing that is obsessing in your mind, one of the most common obsessions is sexual obsessions. And see, these things obsess the mind before they get control of the body. And this is Satan's plan here is to draw you into death. Let me read Proverbs 4. Proverbs 4. In Proverbs 4 and verse 20, my son and my daughter, see, obsessive thoughts controlling your mind, imaginations. 2 Corinthians talks about imaginations, speculations. The mind is the door See, meditation in the dark sense, you open your mind to whatever thought comes. Now watch out. Spirit powers will come and tell you things. If you practice meditation to open your mind, this is what yoga, this is what people do in Eastern meditation. They open their mind. They open their mind. Christian meditation is only taking the Word of God and dwelling on the Word of God. Otherwise, beware of meditation. This is why God says in Proverbs 4, my son, give attention to my words. Listen to my words. Read my words. Get my words in your heart. Meditate on my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Don't let them depart from your sight. Keep in the midst of your heart, for they are life. Life. Light. To those who find them, and health to all their body. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. But if you get into your obsessing in your mind on negative things, on lustful things, on material things, even on sports. I was listening, where did I see this? But I was reading about some Kentucky fans who have asked if they could be buried in a Kentucky basketball uniform. Obsessing over sports. Anything that you obsess on becomes an idol, and you open the door to Satan. You open the door to darkness and destruction. I know it doesn't seem like it, but you will. Because it shuts out the mind being controlled by God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. By the way, in 2 Corinthians 10 again, verse 5, it says that we should not listen to these speculations and reasoning. We should take every thought captive in obedience to Christ. You've got warfare every day in your mind. You've got to learn how to deal with it, so that these things do not control. Of course, once you open the door to controlling habits, to things that drive you, are you driven by anything? Is there anything in your mind that drives you? That drives you? You need to be set free from it. You need to be set free from it tonight.
Yeah.
If there's something you're obsessing on, something you are driven by, because it can open the door to witchcraft or to divination, that can open the door to Satan. Now the body. Sorcery is for the body. Sorcery is enchantment with drugs, music, and sex. Sorcery is enchantment with drugs, music, and sex. Illicit sex. Outside the bond of marriage. Listen to what Proverbs says. I'll give you two. There are many other places. I'll give you two examples of what Proverbs says about illicit sex. Proverbs 5, verse 3. For the lips of an adulteress drip honey, and smoother than oil is her speech, but in the end she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Illicit sex is death. Not just through AIDS. Illicit sex is death. Her steps lay hold of hell. She does not ponder the path of her life. Her ways are unstable, and she does not know it. Chapter 7, verse 24. Now therefore, my son, listen to me. Pay attention to my words, the words of my mouth. Don't let your heart turn aside to her ways. Don't stray into her paths. For many are victims of have been cast down, and numerous are the slain. Her house is the way of hell, descending into the chambers of death. Drugs, alcohol too, lead you into death, into darkness. To control your body. Now, we close with Jesus' answer. John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, the Logos, the expression of God. Jesus was the expression of God's thought. And the Word was with God. He was one with God, the full life. Jesus was the radiance of the Father Himself, the full life of God. And the Word was God. This Word, we can't see, one with Jesus. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being by Him. And apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, not death. Witchcraft, divination, sorcery. To control the spirit and the soul and the body. Bring death. They bring darkness. They bring destruction. In Christ is life. And the life was light. The light of man. And the light shines in the darkness. And the darkness cannot comprehend it. Which means the darkness cannot receive the light. Until people repent, they can't receive the light of Christ. They can't receive the Word. They can't receive the light until they're willing to repent. They can't receive it. Don't expect the world to receive the light and the life until they're willing to repent, until God convicts them and they're willing to repent. It also means that they can't understand the life. They can't understand the Word. They can't understand the life or the light. It also means they can't overcome the light or the life. Or the Word. See, you know, in Revelation, we can overcome. And John also says in the first chapter of his letter, verse 1, 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. What was from the beginning, what we have heard and what we have seen with our eyes, what we have beheld and our hands have handled, the Word of life. Christ. He is the Word. We receive His life. His life lights and we begin to understand. And then we begin to act on the Word. We handle it. See, you don't handle the Word until you're saved. Then you've handled salvation. You don't handle the Word until you've been healed. Then you've handled healing. You don't handle a word until you've been delivered from demonic power. You've handled it. Christianity is about handling, experiencing the life. It's not about ideas about Jesus. It's experiencing Jesus Himself, His life, His light. That life was manifested. And we have seen and bear witness. And we proclaim to you eternal life, life that has no end, light that has no end, which was with the Father and manifested to us, which we have seen and heard. We proclaim. That's why when you receive power, it says you shall receive, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall receive power. And you shall be witnesses. Because when the Holy Spirit comes and brings His life and His light, you will witness, you will proclaim. You don't proclaim ideas that you have in your mind about God. You proclaim what you have handled. That's why it's so dangerous to enter into any kind of witchcraft, divination, sorcery, or anything that is not even that, but anything that controls the spirit, your spirit, anything that controls your will, anything that controls your mind, anything even that controls your emotional life. Anything that controls, other than the Word of God, other than the life of God. You don't have to be controlled. If you're controlled by, if your will or your mind or your emotions, any part of you is controlled by anything but the life of God and the Word of God, you can be set free tonight. You don't have to be controlled by anything other than the life and the light of God. And if you are controlled by the life and the light of God, you don't have to worry about witchcraft, divination, and sorcery. They won't come. They won't be able to penetrate you. It's when you open up the door. Because, see, James says, you start out with earthly wisdom, Then you go to soulish. Then you go to the demonic. And so if you understand that, just stop at earthly wisdom. Don't let that penetrate. Verse 5, this is the message we have heard from him and announced to you. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. God wants us to have fellowship with God the Father, through God the Son, through the Holy Spirit, to be saved, to have our spirit filled, and be baptized in the Spirit, then to be being filled with the Spirit, so that there is any temptation to have our will controlled. We will only his will. We don't get into rebellion, open the door to witchcraft. We absolutely, you have control of your will, and you can say, I will. Whatever you say, I will. And if you will and act that way, God's power will be released in your life. Over your mind, you can fill your mind with the Word of God. Then when you get it in your heart, you can begin to confess it. You can begin to speak with the tongue, led by the Spirit of God, not according to your mind, but according to what the Spirit is saying. And then the life of God begins to flow out your mouth. And you bring life to other people. You speak life to other people. And over the emotions, fear, anger, bitterness, resentment, any of those negative emotions which you can obsess over, God wants you to be set free of those so that you can allow, through the Spirit of God, by faith, his emotions, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, gentleness, meekness, faithfulness, self-control, control of the self-life. Against such, there is no law.